The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main Net Zero Progress website.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. We're on air till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. WhatsApp 166 177 as well. Well, I hardly know where to start. I've been away for the past 2 weeks, so tell me what's happened in your life and what's on your mind. A note in from Cliff, who just said, Andy, four of us went for a meal on the quay the other night. We had a starter, then six young 18-year-old girls, well, let's say teenage girls, came up and sat on the table next to us, and they were just having drinks. Our mains came. All the girls were vaping non-stop. We asked them to stop as it was putting us off. They just laughed at us. The meal was lovely. Restaurants, I think, should ban vapes. And I think the other customers in the restaurant felt the same on the quay, said Cliff. I just wonder what the owner of that restaurant, did you mention it to the management at all? And what is the policy regarding vapes? Can you vape inside a restaurant? Can you vape? Well, I suppose if you're outside a restaurant, then nothing really much they can do about it. An inspirational reshuffle from Alf Cannon, Rob Callister. The move will save the Grand Prix and the TT. It's been all change in the ministerial roles this morning. John Moss has been having a look at what exactly has been happening and perhaps what is behind the story.
In the 2021 general election constituency debate in Onchan, Rob Callister said,
I also want to see a housing first policy and a health service that we all can respect and cherish.
In his manifesto, he'd said, elected members must ensure that Manx Care delivers an integrated approach to managing quality, performance, workforce and finance, along with driving down waiting times as a priority. Well, now he has the chance to tackle the health service after his appointment as the minister. I hesitate to say in charge because the new system involves Manx Care being at arm's length from the department. Let me just remind you of this relationship, and I quote from Manx Care's own words. Manx Care is an independent organisation working at arm's length from the Isle of Man government to deliver health and statutory social care activity across the island. The creation of Manx Care involves the historic separation of the Department of Health and Social Care's functions, with the DHSC retaining responsibility for strategic direction setting, policy development, oversight and assurance, and Manx Care responsible for the delivery of a comprehensive range of services to the public through a clearly defined mandate. Manx Care comes from a recommendation from Sir Jonathan Michael. So far, it's struggled and found reinventing a health delivery a tough ask. Next month, Tynwald will be asked to say yes to $18 million to slice into the long waiting lists in various areas using the resources of a private company. It's safe to say Mr. Callister has... Is yearned the right word? Well, looked forward, perhaps, to getting into Comin, and was perhaps disappointed he wasn't named in Alf Cannon's first team list last year. Prior to politics, his background was in finance. An Onchan commissioner for 4 years, including as chair, he was elected in Onchan in 2016. He's currently chair of Manx Utilities, at least until Tynwald votes on the appointment of Tim Johnson as his successor. Mr. Callister has been a member of the Health Department, Home Affairs and Infrastructure, where his brief was motorsport. He had some excitement there over issues like the TT scoreboard. He was also children's champion until last year. So far, we've concentrated on Rob Callister's move into health. He replaces Laurie Hooper, who moves to Enterprise. That portfolio has been in the Chief Minister's keeping since Tim Crookall left the job, which, despite promises to reveal why, we still haven't been told. Mr. Hooper, we are told, can draw on his wealth of experience and knowledge in this role. In saying that, it doesn't carry the kudos attached to the Health Department, perhaps. In the background to all this is David Ashford, who was Treasury Minister, who resigned after the Rosalind Russell Tribunal hearings. He's a solid politician, and you wonder how long his talent will be allowed to remain on the back benches. He has been given the role of chair of planning after Claire Christian stepped down. We're just 3 days from the first anniversary of the general election, and we've seen a number of comings and goings. Obviously, a chief minister, unless he or her has her hand forced by circumstance, enjoys stability. Mr. Cannon is speaking of a fresh perspective Mr. Callister brings to health, but admits there's still some way to go. Few would disagree.
I just wonder what you think about this. And certainly, if you read between the lines, the moving up of Mr. Ashford, really, if you like, on the bench now, as far as the team's concerned, I wonder whether it's just a matter of time before Mr. Ashford comes back into Comin. And Rob Callister, now Minister for Health and Social Security. Obviously, as John was mentioning, Manx Care comes into that, in that Manx Care has been in business now for a little over about 18 months or so. And we heard just before I was aware, remember, Theresa Cope was on the programme talking about the challenges that Manx Care has, and blatantly the difficulty of managing that role. Obviously, it's a brand new entity. And separating the political from the day-to-day functions of it has obviously had some challenges in the past. So Rob Callister has a very full in-tray that he has to deal with as Laurie Hooper moves to the Department for Enterprise and has something to do there. Any thoughts on the matter? Then get back in touch. Text, email, call or WhatsApp. Text 381. Good to hear from you. Thanks for your message. Let's have a look here. A message in that just says, why do we put people in charge of departments they know nothing about? We should get somebody with a medical management background rather than allowing people to go into this department, says Donald. Actually, some people think it's a plus to have somebody who knows nothing about. I mean, you're assuming that they have a certain level of competence and that they can bring something to that department. Sometimes it's preferable to have somebody who comes in with a clean slate and doesn't have any entrenched views, presumably, presumably you're referring to Dr. Allinson. Maybe Dr. Allinson would go into a DHSC with his own views. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And we've got many departments. We've had people in charge of Treasury who've been bank managers, but we've had people in charge of Treasury who haven't been bank managers before. Think of our current Chief Minister. He was Treasury Minister for many years. I sent an email to the current Health Minister asking why people diagnosed with dementia are being sent home with no support. Says Sue, I've come across relatives of these people who are at their wits' end as private companies are all booked up and there's no other help. These relatives are in full-time work, so they can only visit the sufferer after work. This is dangerous, highly dangerous, to leave dementia patients on their own as the condition fluctuates. They seem lucid for a while, but can suddenly change and, obviously, become demented. I feel dementia is not taken as seriously as it should be, and even though resources are stretched, support should be offered. No reply from the minister yet. He said he'd ask Manx Care. Well, Sue, he's gone, and there's a brand new minister, Mr. Callister, from Onken, one of the Onken representatives, is in charge. Certainly, dementia is something that's getting ever, ever bigger. It's something that, because so many conditions are age-related and we're living longer and longer and longer, these age-related conditions are becoming more prevalent. Now, what particular slice of the pie they should be getting, is that a political decision or a practical functionary decision? Hopefully Rob Callister can make some changes and accountability in the department. I'll wait to see what the outcome is, says Texter 152. And Pammy said, Andy, Rob Callister's got the poison chalice. Rather him than me. Well, he signed up for the job. He wanted to become a politician. The politician's job is to make unpleasant decisions many of the time. So he's in there. The new Minister for Health and Social Care as of today is Rob Callister, MHK. Laurie Hooper was in charge for a little under 11 months. David Ashford was in charge before that. And obviously Kate Beecroft before him. Howard Quayle, the former Chief Minister, ran the department for a couple of years before him. It was David Anderson, MHK. Chris Robertshaw was in there for a while as Minister for Social Care before it was merged. Martin Quayle, the late Martin Quayle, Eddie Tear, Steve Roden, Claire Christian, not the current one, the previous Claire Christian, the Claire Christian MLC. Bernie May was in charge for 5 years in the 1990s. Is it a poison chalice to be in charge of DHSC? It's a very big spending department. And it touches more and more people's lives as we go on now, as many things now become, as I say, become age-related. It comes to us all. It's a way of spending money, isn't it? Text on 166177. I had some messages in also about that Care Quality Commission thing regarding the hospital. And obviously, for the past 2 weeks or so, we've been preoccupied with the death of the Lord of Man, Her Majesty the Queen. But we're back to day-to-day stuff now. And one day-to-day thing is, I don't know about you, but while I was away, I had cause to go through the airport. I had cause to come back through the airport. The tunnel, I can report, is still filthy. That polytunnel you have to walk through to get off the plane and go back to arrivals is still filthy. The paintwork is still crumbling. There are still weeds growing. Outside the airport still looks like, well, an experiment, sort of before the Garden Force happened. The Isle of Man currently has just 10 fully trained air traffic controllers, despite the ideal number being 15. So we are at two-thirds capacity for this. Gary Cobb is the new airport director. He's been there for a while now. He says issues at Ronald's Way aren't solely down to a lack of air traffic controllers.
Almost a month in now, it's been a good learning curve. It's getting used to the island as well as a job. In terms of the airport, it's a very nice airport. The staff are incredibly professional, incredibly hardworking. In terms of challenges, there are challenges you would expect. Having a look at what we're doing, we've got some regulatory issues that we're in the process of fixing. We're having a look at master planning, so how do we work with our assets that we've got, and actually what vision do we have for the airport, where do we want to grow it? And that's not where we think. That'll also be an element of going out and consulting of actually what do people want our airport to be, and the conscious decisions that come with that of, if you want it to be quick and efficient, then you're not necessarily going to have something that you can sit down for 4 or 5 hours with, like a waterfall like Changi. And then in terms of that, the other bit is routes and commerciality of the airport. So what routes do we need? What routes do people want? And then how do we do it? Routes is a pretty complex topic. As an airport, you have the routes that you could grow. But if this was mainland UK, if somebody decided not to fly to Liverpool, we could just then replace that with someone flying somewhere else. It's almost a numbers game. On an island, the routes that we fly and the frequency that we fly are actually important. So it's how do we protect those routes? And sometimes that's how do we not oversaturate routes? Because what the worst situation will be if you suddenly have lots of airlines come to fly one particular route, they then all start to lose money on that and then they all stop flying that route. So again, it's what do we do in terms of route connectivity, and then how do we make it so that we become less of a burden on the taxpayer.
Any personal stories about the airport that you'd like to share? If you've travelled through the airport this summertime, what are your opinions of it? Now, bearing in mind, we've been through COVID, and obviously the whole aviation industry has been turned upside down over the past 3 years or so. So nothing is quite as it seemed. But I just wonder what you think we have the right to expect from Ronald's Way. Do you think we have the right to expect the flower beds to be neat and tidy and the hedges to be cut and the cigarette butts to be cleared away? Do you think we have a right to have chewing gum to be steam cleaned off the pavement outside, or is that somebody else's job? Do you think we have the right to expect lots of taxis there when a couple of flights arrive at once? Do you think we have the right to expect this new airport director to go above and beyond and say, well, it's a job in progress? Well, everything's a job in progress. And to say we're nearly there regarding air traffic control numbers. There's a shortage, and you can't just train an air traffic controller in 10 minutes. It takes a lot longer. It's a very involved job, and there are statutory obligations for air traffic controllers. It's a very important job. Taking off is one thing. Landing is quite another. Now, for one reason or another, we got a message in that just said, for one reason or another, three air traffic controllers are currently away from duty. So, in fact, there are 7 on the roster at the airport. This is somebody who sent a message in and we'd like to confirm this with the airport, one of those air traffic controllers isn't licensed for radar control, can therefore only do local tower control. So effectively, that means a total of 6.5 controllers out of 15, not 10. It will be nice to know what the official position is. Obviously, the official position is that we have 10 air traffic controllers. But if three are away and one can't do radar, so we effectively have 6.5, how does that impact on what service the airport offers? It is our national airport, remember. It does say Isle of Man government on it. So I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding this. Now, the politician in charge of this, the man in charge of this, obviously, is Chris Thomas, MHK. Chris Thomas says changes are on the way.
The airport director's been here for a month now, got stuck in. We had reviews waiting for him. We had challenges waiting for him. And we're now at the stage where we're master planning and we're working with Treasury and then we will with Tim Ward to get money spent on addressing those challenges, because air services to the island are absolutely vital for the future of the island. And hey, we have had problems, we've acknowledged them, and now we're going to fix them.
You've had a lot of feedback from passengers. Is there anything in particular that they're telling you they would like?
They basically want to come to the airport and get through as quickly and efficiently as possible. I also think we've heard a little bit that when you come to the island as a visitor, wouldn't it be great if you could have a welcoming experience and learn a bit more about the island? I think we've also heard that we need to communicate a bit better, and that's what we're currently trying to do. But it's not as if we've got tens of millions to spend here, but we do have some money to spend here, and so therefore now it's a question of council ministers sitting down with Treasury and making sure we've got the resources to let the airport director and everybody else who works at the airport make the services right for the island and the people, all of us who live here. This is not about, you know, just planning for no date. We basically need to sort this out now, and in practical terms we've got to work with air traffic control here to address all the issues that arise from all around the island. We've also got to work with some aspects of security, customs, just basically catch up. We made major investment in the airport 10 years ago, and now it's a question of catching up with what we haven't done quite right in recent years and fixing those challenges to have a better airport. It hasn't been right in recent months. Let's fix it.
Chris Thomas, MHK, let's fix it. Let's get things started. Perhaps if you work at the airport, if you want to drop a note, I mean, you don't have to tell me your name, but if there's something you can add to what exactly... Is the cafe open yet, by the way? Is the shop open upstairs yet? Has that actually happened? Because the airport... And what about that advertising hoarding that's downstairs that means you can't see who's coming in and people who are arriving can't see who's waiting for them? We were told, and this is a catch-all, the previous airport director told us that advertising hoarding had to be there for safety reasons. Well, it had been sold, remember. It had been sold as an advertising space. But it does rather detract from what we used to have, which was the ability to see people who were coming in. New arrivals, friends, relatives, business colleagues who were arriving, and say hi to them while they waited to get their luggage. Is that really a safety problem? Is that, or is that just a catch-all to cover up the fact that they want to sell some advertising space? I thought it was heartening, says Malcolm, to see the Manx flag flying at the late Queen's funeral yesterday. Second flag in by Westminster Square, says Malcolm. Why has Laurie Hooper been moved from the post? What happened to bring that about, says Tony A? We don't know, but ministerial shuffles happen. Laurie Hooper has been moved to Department for Enterprise. We have a new Department of Health and Social Care Minister, Rob Callister, in. And Mr. Ashford has been moved to become Head of Planning. Claire Christian has relinquished that role, and Mr. Ashford has moved back in to that role. And we wish him well. Manx Care's failed to deliver in nearly every aspect, says Andy. The sooner it's incorporated back into DHSC and remove the unnecessary cost with all the extra management incorporated following the review that copies the systems from across. We are an island of 82,000, so let's have a Manx systems running the Manx Health Service, says Andy. Well, I'll just remind you, Andy, we paid a fortune for the St. Jonathan Michael's report, which said we should separate them and that... it's a matter of taking the politicians out of the day-to-day running of our health service. So we had a report, we had a review, we paid a fortune for it, we implemented it 18 months ago. Obviously something's gone wrong somewhere. You heard Theresa Cope and the chair of Manx Care in a couple of weeks ago saying that there are, what do they say, it's never a problem, it's a challenge, isn't it? It's an opportunity to review. It's an opportunity to learn. Something's gone wrong somewhere. Is it time to bin it and go back? Would it be a big waste of money, wouldn't it, to go back where we were doing before, having spent all that money? Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just with the last fortnight, it's been a bit chaotic, etc. But the government quietly slipped into the paper just before the unfortunate passing of the Queen that something I've been banging on about for ages in the licence. Victualers and all the licensed premises on the island, they are now this month going to reduce the size of the spirit measures that you're going to be served. And I don't know whether the alcohol and drinking or the hospitality are all part of the inflation in the breadbasket. Because that there then is an automatic, it's about a 16% rise in the cost of alcohol to be served over the bar of any licensed premises.
So it's the same price but less alcohol, is that right?
Exactly, yep. It's a smaller measure. It's 25 milliliter, whereas the Manx one is the fluid ounce, fifth of a gill, and that was 28.4 milliliters. It doesn't seem an awful lot, but when you think of the tens of thousands or millions of drinks that are served up, that's a tidy little profit for the brewery and for licensed premises at the cost of the people going into the pubs. I know people that came over here, and what this is going to encourage, because it's a smaller measure, people are going to get into the habit of drinking doubles. I know because in Northern Ireland, the measure is still larger than the Manx one. And even at that, there's some friends of ours, and they weren't big drinkers, but they used to have a double because the Manx measure to them was smaller. Now, this is going to work exactly the same here on the island because now, and it is, it's been announced, it's happening this month. It's already been sneaked through Timbald.
And what was the reason, Howard?
The brewery are saying they have great difficulty in obtaining the 25 milliliter optics. So, of all the licensed premises on the island, which includes everyone that will serve a drink through an optic, they will all have to buy new optics as from later on in this month. Wines and things in the glass is going to be standard and the pint is going to be normal. But if you drink spirits, you're not going to get as much for your pounds as you were. Because I cannot possibly see hotels, pubs, or the brewery insisting that the price be reduced because you're getting a reduced amount.
I wonder if so, I just wonder whether they will do the right thing and reduce the cost.
Well, I haven't seen any pigs flying past my house this week. So there's not a hope in hell of that. They will just let it slide through gently, as it has done. And this is something, I've got the paperwork up in the house of all the introduction to this and the supposedly reasons that they're trying to achieve it. And it was introduced by LVA and the brewery, and they finally got their way. But what begs the question is, if they've got away with this, what is the next thing that they're going to try and achieve and, by the looks of it, will achieve just by pressure?
Okay, and this is all down to the fact they can't source fifth of a gill optics.
They're having difficulty, they say, that word difficulty. They can get them, but what they're looking to is, as it used to be, 26 fluid ounces when it was an imperial measure in the bottles. You had 26 nips, as we used to call it, to a bottle. Now it's on the metric, so you're working to a litre or more, and they're finding now, and they're saying we're going to go to 25 milliliter, so we now will get the equivalent of what used to be the 26 nips or 40 out of a litre bottle. So it's the brewery who have a monopoly with Shentworth steam packets and electricity and gas. The brewery have one of the biggest monopolies on the island here, with the pubs, the spa, the petrol, transport. Virtually everything that anybody touches now, the brewery are more or less involved.
Okay.
Which is, it should be looped into.
All right, Howard, thanks for calling today. We appreciate that.
Take care. Bye now.
All right,
bye.
It's 29 minutes before one, Manx Radio, live from the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man Government Conference kicked off today. It's a two-day event, today and tomorrow, said to be a chance for you, that's you, to discuss the current challenges facing the Isle of Man and to help shape solutions going forward. Mainly, you can have your say. The Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, tells us about it.
As part of a programme of engagement and consultation that we committed to in the island plan, this government conference was one of the highlights. It's a new initiative. It is free to attend. It's designed to reach out across the public, across businesses, to allow people to engage with politicians and to engage with departments. Partly for us to explain current policy, partly obviously to allow that policy to be discussed and obviously allow that policy to be scrutinised and allow that opportunity for an engagement process to take place also outside of the main events, if you like, at the Villa Marina over a two-day period.
And how important is it for government to be listening to people at events like this and taking their views on board in terms of what's going to be happening?
Well, we have a diverse political spectrum of politicians on the island. There is very little in the way of a party system. There are a number of views. It's very much a sort of consensus government that ultimately forms and puts together its views in terms of the way forward. And Tynwald obviously has to support or otherwise in terms of the direction of travel. So I do think it is very important that there is suitable opportunity for engagement. Clearly, we live in a small community. There is plenty of opportunity for us as regional politicians to go out to our constituencies and talk to our voters, but also effectively as national politicians, I think you need to extend that reach. And these sorts of conferences give people that opportunity to perhaps engage with me and other politicians when they otherwise might not have that opportunity so regularly.
So who exactly is the conference aimed at?
Anybody who feels that they really want to be there, that feels that there are elements of that conference or the conference as a whole is something they'd like to engage with. And, you know, we're trying to make it as open, as accessible as possible. You know, this is a first go at this. This is a new initiative, and we will obviously review that after the two-day conference is over and see what sort of improvements we can make and whether it's been a success and how it's best taken forward. It'll be at the Villa Marina on the 20th and 21st of September, and for more information, including the full agenda, then if you visit gov.im/IOMGovConference, you can register in advance, but you can also turn up on the day. And tickets will be available on both days.
That's the first thing to mention. It's absolutely free of charge. It's on today and tomorrow at the Villa Marina, in the Colonnade Suite and in the Royal Hall as well. The government is basically offering you a direct way to interact with politicians. Key topics, policy areas, obviously the government's response to the current economic challenges. If you look, the cost of living crisis as we know it, climate change, inflation, housing, communities, healthcare, public finances. There are question and answer panels giving you the opportunity to ask questions and generate ideas for the Isle of Man's futures. It is free to attend. You simply have to pitch up. You can register in advance, but if you go to gov.im, there'll be a link through there. But there's a full agenda there. If you want to pitch up and just see what is happening and what they're talking about, then by all means, it's at the Villa Marina. It's today and tomorrow. And I think later on today, there's a business working lunch. They're talking about healthcare, the future in the economy as well, education and skills, workforce skills as well, education, workforce and skills today. There is a pop-up cafe in the Colonnade Suite as well. So we'll be able to get a cup of tea and a slice of cake, no doubt. But that's the Isle of Man Government Conference on today and tomorrow at the Villa Marina. Charlie said, Andy, I made up that you mentioned about no experience in departments. Maybe David Ashford is in charge of planning. He may now, after a year away, get something done about the public footpath in Willesden Crescent. Obviously, that's part of Douglas North, where he's an MHK. He should find out, did Douglas Corporation apply for planning permission to add one of their houses to connect to the lane, as if there was right to do so, enclosing the lane and our right of way to walk up it. Well, maybe it's the time we should speak to Mr. Ashford. He's always very helpful and always happy to pop in on Man in Line. I used the airport last week, says Tony. When it rains, there's 2 inches of water to walk through in places under that polytunnel. I waited 20 minutes for our bags, and this being a domestic flight, Chris Thomas has a job and a half on his hands there, and I wish him luck, says Tony. If you want to see how an airport should be run, go to Helsinki, says Dave. Off to Finland it is then as well. Dick says, Andy, John didn't mention Rob Callister's manifesto. He said Manx Care should be putting patients and service users first. So will this be a new radical approach if you can achieve that with Manx Care? The patients seem to have been the last thing that Manx Care worries about. They've been worried about their image around the Isle of Man, and how they look on YouTube. By the way, do we have someone who, in as health minister, who knew something about it when Steve Roden was minister? Well, obviously, Mr. Roden is a pharmacist. Was a pharmacist. It's not a crazy idea to give Dr. Allinson the job in health, and Rob Callister, as a compliance accountant, the job as Treasury Minister. Maybe they could job share, and then everybody would be happy. Dick, it's an idea.
Are you really saving money driving to other stores miles away? There and back. With fuel.
How much per litre?
On top of your spend. At your local ShopRite, we more than match hundreds of prices. Plus, switch and save. Up to 35% with Sainsbury's quality. Plus, low prices in every aisle, every day. All conveniently close to home. ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Hey, man, like, do you know the way to Conister Bank? I hear they're, like, really cosmic, daddy-o.
Sorry, mate. Didn't understand a word of that.
It's cool, brother. Please.
Thanks to Conister, it doesn't matter if you live like yesterday, you can still drive tomorrow's car with green finance to make sustainability more affordable for everyone.
Like, beautiful, man.
Conister Green Finance. Visit conisterbank.co.im/green to find out more.
All loans are subject to status, terms, conditions and early settlement fees apply.
Mom, Dad, there's no hot water again.
Having trouble with hot water and heating? Energy prices are rocketing, and there's never been a more important time to make sure your heating system is in tip-top condition. Home Warm by Energy Management Systems is the simple way to spread the cost for essential maintenance, starting from just $7.99 per month. For peace of mind and money-saving advice, call EMS on 613 210 or find us on Facebook. Home Warm by EMS. Become our priority.
Caroline North is back this weekend live from our historic radio ship Ross Revenge with some great music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. Your chance to win some money to spend in the Caroline web shop, and the whole weekend is sponsored by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for Radio Caroline North
on 1368 and 648 AM.
The Man in Line. Brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. 20 to 1 on Manx Radio. Text, email or call, whatever you want to talk about. Lots of people waiting to have a chat. Let's just... your message is correct, says this correspondent on 498 regarding air traffic controllers. The situation is beyond dire. It comes down to poor management decisions. Presumably, you're pointing at the previous director, Anne Reynolds. Well, we are where we are. Mr. Cobb has walked into this. But you could say, and I just say this from my layperson's point of view, walking through the airport, it could look better. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending a few quid on some pots of paint or cleaning off that polytunnel. Just get a pressure washer and make it look better and pick the weeds out, or maybe paint over the rust. Perhaps that's the thing to do, or maybe concentrate on getting luggage out in less than 20 minutes or so. Surely that's one of the things. And what are we going to do about that advertising hoarding in arrivals? Does that really have to stay? Wouldn't it be something to do just to say, we'll get rid of it and people can see each other? David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. It's great to see the team back in action because we're all... Tell you the truth, I didn't know what to do. I was starting to do the garden. getting really desperate. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about the green issue with the government think tank coming up now. And just to throw out there a potential of about an anti-competitive practice against the Manx Utilities. Because when you fill a form in for the green energy, if you're anybody else but a private individual, you don't get any help. So I've asked the question why, when the biggest percentage we can get to get down the green road is by engaging with big companies like they've done up near B&Q, I can't remember what they're called now, the whole car park roof is covered in it and they're producing electricity. The guy up north that's got a big factory up there is even, I'm led to believe, bought electric cars for the staff and they get free charges on the electric for their vehicles that they've got, and he's got a massive array up there. Is that what's the issue with the government? Is if we're trying to get down to a target, is why can't we have organisations, big organisations, or individuals like charities, sport organisations, knocked out? You can't apply because you're not a residential. What do you think the reason is for that when we're trying to get somewhere?
You would think they'd want a bit of momentum, wouldn't you? Or just to start somewhere. As it stands at the moment, there's a lot of talk about it, and it's been nearly a year now since we've been talking about it. They say that this money's there, and yet, you know, the green initiatives and the home energy surveys and what have you seems to be a bit of a trickle rather than what should be a flood.
Yeah, and they should have engaged with it right over the summer season before they're coming back into Parliament there. And if there are things to be fixed and looked at, and what I would say, my argument or my discussion would be why the Manx Utilities have a conflict of interest there. They restrict the amount of panels, kilowatt hours you can have on the roof or on the building or whatever. Now, to me, I just wonder why they're doing that. Or knocking it back? Is it because the infrastructure can't take it, shoving buying energy back to the system, or are they frightened that we're going to be successful in doing it?
Well, presumably the government and the climate change people know full well that if people do have the ability to sell electricity back to Manx Utilities, that will affect their financial model. And if suddenly you get 2,000 people flogging electricity to the MUA, it will affect matters. But surely they thought about that before.
Well, one would hope they have, or are they just putting a restriction in where you make an application and they say, oh, you can only put a couple of kilowatts on your roof. You can't put four, but I can afford four. And why can't I sell some of that surplus energy back into the system to make my home more efficient? My other concern is, too, we're not offering it out to, like I said before, industry itself, big commercial firms who've got massive loads of roof space, and they can have that done in the winter. Because the fallacy is, too, that doesn't work in the winter. It does, but you need to double it to pick up what you want. What do you want to use in the building and what you want to put externally as well. And I just thought, I'm not quite sure whether there'll be anybody listening from business, or you would think the Chamber of Commerce. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce was supposed to be the organisation that pushes out industry and challenges government like the unions do on different sides of the fence there. And I just wonder what's happening with it. But I do think there's a potential conflict of interest if you're putting negative elements in it that prevents somebody saying, I want 10 kilowatts on my roof, not three.
Interesting point, David. Thanks for calling.
Cheers, mate.
All right, to 1:15 on Manx Radio. Well, certainly if the Chamber's listening, if anybody from the Chamber is listening, I just wonder what the Chamber of Commerce's official line is regarding this, and also regarding climate change. We don't hear much from the Chamber of Commerce about what their point of view is regarding. In fact, if the Chamber of Commerce wants to come on Man in Line to chat about it, then by all means do. A couple of weeks ago, before I went away, Andrew Foster, the chair of Manx Care, and Theresa Cope, chief exec, were in. Do you remember? They were talking about, well, bluntly, how things weren't entirely what they wanted them to be. And the past year and a bit since Manx Care was formed has not been everything everybody wanted it to be. But they have welcomed Rob Callister, MHK, following this morning's announcement. They congratulate Mr. Callister on his appointment. They've already met him ahead of the announcement being made, and they're inviting him to take a tour of Manx Care facilities so he can see for himself exactly the work that the teams do across the Isle of Man in a single day, as well as the challenges that Manx Care routinely faces. So he'll get up to speed with exactly what the job entails. So they wish him, they wish Laurie Hooper all the best as he goes through to his portfolio. Lots of messages in today. Sheila's asking about what the situation is regarding maternity midwife cover as well, and Sally asks about what's happening at Puddle Ducks. Well, the big story about we'll come to that in a moment. I've got a few messages to get through, but we'll talk about Puddle Ducks. Manx Care is a poison pill, says Texter 520. It's a shame to see the Chief Minister burn one of the better MHKs with this job. Well, Mr. Callister volunteered for the job. He did put his hand up and want to become an MHK, and presumably now he wants to become the Minister for Health and Social Care. He's a big boy, just my opinion, but Rob's skills will be better used at DfE. I know Rob's going to do his best, but Manx Care is a basket case. Ask Laurie Hooper. Thank you for that. I was on last night's patient transfer flight that was cancelled at about 7 o'clock. We were ushered downstairs to check in and were told no flight till 11 a.m. Wednesday morning. Then took 4 hours to arrange accommodation for 68 people. We eventually got to a hotel at 9:45. We had no way of getting food or drinks as all the shops at the airport were closed. This is a ridiculous situation. The airport and Loganair have put us in this situation. 3 people were in wheelchairs. The hotel had no way of getting them into the hotel, as it was left to able-bodied passengers to carry. This is the 21st century we're talking about. Other passengers carried those people in wheelchairs in. You need to send the MHK on this route for a week and see what a shambles he has on his hand. It is a mess, says Anna. Thanks for that message in. The airport should encourage Aer Lingus to reintroduce the morning Dublin flight to allow us to reconnect to their North American network on a single ticket. If you want to go to Dublin, you have to go the day before, only on the afternoon flight at the moment. It was a very popular connection pre-COVID, says Andrew. Thank you, Andrew. That is obviously a commercial decision that Aer Lingus would have to come to, but obviously the accountants and the people with the spreadsheets at the airlines are getting everything back together and getting their load factors and their money and their revenue back together again after COVID. But in terms of a passenger experience, going to North America via Dublin was an absolute breeze, wasn't it? Can we ban the word challengers, says John. Lessons have been learned from politicians in new positions. Maybe we should be playing phrase bingo, shouldn't we, as to how long it takes a new politician to say lessons have been learned or I'm facing the challenges. They're a job to do, so do the job, says John. This is Sheila, wasn't it, Sally, who said, what is going on at Puddle Ducks Nursery? Now, an inspection at the Douglas Nursery Puddle Ducks has identified failings which put the safety of children in its care at risk. Issues with cleanliness, a lack of training, staff not putting children's needs first are among the problems highlighted in this government inspection. The Department of Health and Social Care says despite this, it's not at the stage of using its regulatory powers to deregister Puddle Ducks, the story from Tessa Hawley.
Puddle Ducks Nursery is located on Raphael Road in Douglas and on its Facebook page describes itself as a place where children aged 2 to 5 years can flourish and develop at their own pace. But that view, it would appear, isn't shared by the Department of Health and Social Care. Its registration and inspection team has published its annual inspection report following an announced 2-day inspection last month. And the 14-page document doesn't make for easy reading. The inspector looked at 5 aspects of the nursery, asking whether it's safe, effective, caring, responsive and well-led. In all 5 areas, the service was failing. My colleague Christian Jones joins me now to break down the key findings from the report. Christian, let's give our listeners a flavour of the main issues.
So the inspection found issues with staffing. The registered manager was not proactive in her management of the nursery or the staff. 3 members of staff also started working at the nursery prior to all checks being in place, and staff were not being supported to meet children's individual needs.
And concerns were raised too about the cleanliness of the nursery, weren't they?
Yes, the premises, play resources and equipment were found to need cleaning, and many areas of the nursery were in need of decoration. There was also a lack of toys and resources available, which meant children had limited choices as to what they could play with.
Now, Puddle Ducks has 62 children on its register. How did the inspector find they were actually looked after?
Well, the inspection found the registered manager and staff did not demonstrate an understanding of managing children's behaviour. There was no consistent approach amongst the team or strategies in place to promote and support positive behaviour. Children with communication needs were found to not be supported to have a voice. In short, the system being used by the staff team was not fit for purpose.
MHK Joni Farragher is the chair of the Quality and Safety Committee within the DHSC. She's told Manx Radio she wants to reassure people that the service has been served with an improvement notice. She adds that in the event of genuine safety concerns for children in a nursery setting, the department can and will always consider using its regulatory powers to deregister a service. However, she says that is not the stage we're at.
Manx Radio's contacted Puddle Ducks parent company, Adorn Domiciliary Care, to respond. As yet, we haven't heard from them. You can find a link to that report if you go to manxradio.com. Adorn Domiciliary Care, as well as running Puddle Ducks Nursery, runs 2 nursing homes, the Beaconsfield Adult Care Home and Salisbury Street Nursing Home, as well as Manx Care Phone and Home Care Facilities. You can check out what Adorn, that's all publicly available information, by the way, and I'm not saying that apart from just public awareness. The website is adorn.co.im, so we'll wait to see what is happening at Puddle Ducks as the day continues.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692 400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
EPS just finished painting our house and we're delighted with the result.
Very impressed with the speed, quality and standard of work.
We would recommend EPS highly.
House looks like new.
Brilliant job from start to finish.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with a revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Visit eps.company for details. There's a waiting list, but it'll be worth it.
A good job well done.
Thank you, EPS.
With spiralling energy costs, it's time to seriously consider renewable energy with Manx Solar Electrical. Invest in the latest heat pump, solar energy and Tesla Powerwall systems now, and you can look forward to a future of controlling your energy bills for you and your family. For an investment starting from £10,000, invest for the future now.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical when you want the best.
Running a business is always tough. But these days, it seems to be getting harder. Keeping on top of sales, recruiting staff, and trying to keep up with the accounts can mean that there just aren't enough hours in the day. One phone call to Shimin Wilson, a Manx firm of chartered accountants and business consultants, is all you need. Shimin Wilson can help you with an extensive range of accountancy-related services and a team on hand to help you through these tough times. Your peace of mind is only one call away on 627744.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. The world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Lots of messages to get through today. Didn't get through to everybody, but I continue to try in vain to get an appointment with my GP, says B. Text to B on 520. I telephoned for 5 days last week during their booking time slot, 8:30 a.m. I couldn't get through on the phone. I gave up. Went to the GPs in person. I was told I couldn't book in person. Gotta go home and call back the following morning. The receptionist said this is Manx Care's standard policy. It seems crazy, particularly if they're not going to put enough staff on the phone, says B. And lots of emails about GPs, so if you want to get in touch about GP appointment times, by all means, out of hours, now you email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. Remember that Isle of Man Government Conference on today and tomorrow, free of charge at the Villa Marina. And Man in Line's back tomorrow with another open line from noon till one. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today.
WINT.